This is the Player Spotlight, every week throughout the season with Bob, Dave, and Moore.
It is time for the Player Spotlight here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. It's a pleasure to speak to this man. He is a special teams assassin out there, and it's good to see him out here healthy. Talking about Nico Thorpe is with us. How are you, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you. First of all, obviously the season didn't go the way you wanted, dealing with injury right out of the gate. How do you feel these days? You feeling 100% now?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling blessed. Anytime I'm out there, I'm definitely feeling blessed. But health-wise, yeah, as long as I'm out there, I'm happy, man. Just be able to do my part, man. I know just when you're not out there, it's frustrating. You know, you're not a part of a win or a loss. So just to be out there, it means a lot.
You got a chance to play some defense last week, finally.
Yeah, man. They called my number, man. I just stay ready, bro, to, you know. When they call my number, I go out there and just do my job.
Let me ask you this. Get right to the important stuff. What is with the caw thing?
The claw.
Yeah. I hear that all the time in the locker room, and then all of a sudden you walk past me in the hallway in Cleveland, and I heard it, and I'm like, oh, he's the one.
Yeah, that's the bird call. I mean, if you heard it in the locker room, it might have been me or anybody hit it. We all do it. It's just a bird call. I did start it a couple years, like 2 years ago. It was because we used to always say, like, yee, you know, to get your boy attention, right? And then, but, like, literally everybody just was like, yee, and you look back and it's not even your boy. So that's kind of where the claw came from because – you know, who's going to say that? You know, yeah. If you hear that, it's definitely somebody you know. So
if I walk past you on the street and just went, ah,
you'd be turning around. I'm looking for you.
You'll say, that's somebody I know.
Right. I one of the trainers I seen in Target, like from a distance, and just got like an aisle over, like looked through the thing and just started just hitting it. And he's just like,
Nico's here.
He's like, I hear it. I know it's somebody. And then I came out like after 5 minutes just messing with him. And then we just laughed. But I was like, see how you look? Because, you know, he know the bird call.
I like the visual of him peering through the boxes on the other aisle.
Eating it all up while he's looking for me.
Hey, it sounds like Jason Jenks in The Athletic writing a story about your ping pong prowess.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate him on that story. That's a cool, unique story he did.
Are you pretty good?
I'm pretty good, but, you know, a lot of people who don't know my story, you know, may think I'm portrayed as this guy who just likes to talk a lot of smack because, I mean, I do talk a lot of smack now that I'm where I'm at, you know what I'm saying? Because I was on the other side. Like, when I first got here, probably was my first time really trying it, and guys was, like, really competing at it and, like, killing me at it. And now I'm, like, on the other end. I'm real good, so I'm like, just walking around with my chest out, just like, who won it?
You better with the backhand or the forehand?
I'm nice with both now. So it's whatever you feel, whatever your strength is, I'm going to just go off of you.
Just lots and lots of practice.
That's it, man. And just a lot of just not wanting to suck. you know, it comes a point where, you know, you don't want to get beat so many times.
Are you the number one seed in there now?
If you ask me, yeah, I'm bad with myself, but I know it's probably two or three people who give me a run.
Who would that be?
That would be Jason Myers.
Okay.
King.
Kickers always.
Yeah. Hakeem King. And I would say, I don't know, man. I would put Odd in there, but I mean, I'd be Odd a couple times. Okay. To where I feel like he's not ready.
Is there somebody that's more fun to beat? Like, you just really enjoy beating that guy?
Yeah, that's the goal. Those are a lot of guys that's just around, just talking a lot of smack. Just like, if somebody else get a point on me, then they talk to you. Like, you know what? Well, I'm going to play you next. And then you just tear them up.
Who do you beat 21 to nothing?
21? Nah, it don't even go that far. So the skunk is We used to play to 11
because
so many people,
skunk.
You know, people want to play. So, but the skunk is 7-0, skunked out. You know, you might want to take a break.
So when you serve, do you go with the overspin? Do you do the cut? What do you do?
I got a couple serves, man. I'm gonna send a couple of just to see how you react. You know what I'm saying? So I know later in the game when to use them.
I know it doesn't look like it, but I could give you a game.
No. Trust, there's no look to this ping pong thing. I've noticed that.
I'm telling you, I'd give you a game.
I believe you. I look forward to it. I mean, you probably sharpen my game up. Show me something I ain't seen.
So he also said he was a good beer chugger. And he's terrible.
No,
he says that stuff a lot, man.
No, he's lying. He saw me at Hooters. I showed you.
It was awful.
I got a little bit on
slow.
The front. It wasn't slow.
You can't be slow with the beer.
It wasn't slow. I want a piece of Bobby over at Dino's too, because I got the pool. Yeah.
See, that's another game right there.
Is there a pool table in there?
Nah, but just a lot of people scream it though. You know, when it's not in there, a lot of people. Oh, we had a pool table.
Yeah. Had you ever played ping pong before you got here?
I tried it before, but I was like, literally just like one.
Just trying to make contact.
Really?
When I first got here, then if the competition really heated up when Justin Coleman was here, because we used to go at it, and then.
He could talk too, right?
That's what I'm saying. Anybody know me? I'm a talk with him. So it was fun.
Did you talk to OBJ while you were out there?
I didn't. I mean, as you know, when I was out there, my time was brief. So I was just trying to do my job.
It's funny you bring that up because I was looking at your watch.
Right.
That's a nice watch. Did OBJ have his watch on out there?
Did you notice? I'm pretty sure if he did, Instagram caught it. That's how people be seeing it. I don't think people really see it when he got it on.
Yeah, because supposedly it's what, like a $350,000 watch or
would
something?
Would you wear something of that value on the field? I mean, you're asking for it to get smashed, aren't you?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I'd probably wear the pregame or something like that. Then take it off, but that's me.
You're good. Did you win last night in the, it was probably a couple of nights ago. You played our Taylor Jacobs in FIFA.
Oh, yeah, the FIFA. Yeah.
Did you win?
I'm pretty good in FIFA, though. Like, I'm like, where I am now in ping pong and FIFA, I'm past that.
You're better.
See, now that I put a little perception on that.
What is it? A lot of guys play soccer. He's talking some stuff now.
No, seriously, though. No, that's one of my favorite games. I don't know. I just fell in love with it. I started watching soccer more after that.
Oh, did you?
I don't even play Madden anymore.
Oh, really? You need to play Ocho Cinco. He talks smack on Twitter to everybody
about
FIFA.
He does. He does. He has like little tournaments and stuff.
Yeah. He challenges anybody on Twitter. He's got, I don't know how many followers, but he's like, anybody who wants to play me, I'm happy to beat you. Have you responded to him?
Nah, I haven't reached out. I'm pretty sure he has a lot of people, but I mean, he's pretty good. I've seen him play. I mean, from online. So it'd be a good game.
I'm wondering what it meant to you to be special teams captain.
It was everything. The first or just second time. Because both times was like, wow. I mean, the first time for sure was wow. I never been let the captain ever before. And then, to be at this level and then, have your peers, vote for you. And then the second time, I was like, damn. Like, wow, y'all boys really believe in me. And see the work and everything. So, it means everything to me, for sure. I try to show it and, tell the guys as much as I can.
So when you are a captain, is there a different responsibility? Are you out there giving the pregame speech? Are you getting everybody together? Or what does your role change at all?
I think it kind of changes a little bit. I mean, that you wearing the C on your jersey, with younger guys on the team, and they could tend to look up to the captain more. But, I mean, I'm going to just be myself already. I try to be more of a vocally because I know when times is, I'm the guy to get them going in the special teams, let them know we good or whatever, or we need to play right here. So I guess it's vocally more for me.
Yeah, I think we underestimate what a big deal that is. Being the captain.
Man.
You're going out there. I think we used to do it by, game. And there was a couple games where I went out there. And it's like when they announce it in front of everybody.
Hey.
That's pretty cool.
It's real life, man.
Yeah.
It's everything. Yep.
Yeah. You're also very well liked in that locker room, it seems like. You seem like you're a guy that gets along with everybody.
I try to. I mean, I'm a people person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't found a lot of people that I don't like, so that's not hard.
How do you feel like special teams has played this year? It feels like it's kind of hit and miss. Some big plays happening,
yeah.
The block punt, and then maybe some of the tackling wasn't there. What's your take on it?
I say we're doing solid. I say we're striding in the right direction. We had a couple learning mistakes or whatever, but I feel like the guys believe in what we're capable of and coach schemes. And literally every week I look forward to it because, I mean, I know the impact that we can bring to the game. So you just go out there and try to do it every week.
What are you seeing from film this week? Obviously, Lamar Jackson seems like he's one of those extra meeting guys. He's a problem.
Yeah, he's a great athlete, man. He's a good quarterback. They're a great team. We know they're going to come in here and play us hard and give us the game that we want. So only time will tell.
You looking forward to going home next week?
I am looking forward to going home next week. Because the last time I was there, I left with a bad taste. So I'm definitely looking forward to, going home.
A lot of friends and family going to the Falcons game.
The whole deal. I love it. I'm a guy who loves the support anyway, so it's just more support.
How many tickets do you have to get for that?
I don't know. I don't even want to count, man. But, I mean, you know, it's up there, like roughly 20, 30 tickets probably.
And they all think you get them for free, huh?
They all think they're free. You know, for some reason, you get as many tickets as you want, so just don't leave me out.
Yeah.
Hey, last thing, I know we need to let you go, but are you pretty proud of yourself being undrafted and the career that you've had so far?
I am. I mean, I give all glory to God, for sure. I just try to walk my path. I feel like earlier in my career, I still don't know, where it's going to go, but earlier I was just trying to think too much, and now I see like how far I've come. It's my path, man, and I'm definitely proud of myself, and I just want to keep going.
Well, Nico, always fun to talk to you, man. Good to see you out there on the field.
Thank you.
Best of luck this weekend.
For sure. Have a great day.
There you go, Nico Thorpe, sitting down with us for a few moments there, and Maura Dooley tweeted out a picture of his outfit.
It was like a warm up outfit that looked rather comfortable.
It looked like he was wearing a giant red blanket.
It was fuzzy, yeah, but it was
like a
tracksuit. He said he wears it to fly. I think that's a good move. I need something like that to fly in.
Yeah, it was like a zip up sleeping bag.
Man, he had the ski cap on underneath it. Man, he was warm. He was ready to go. And that giant watch you pointed out, that thing was huge.
Yeah, you can tell like in the locker room that he's one of the glue guys, and I think that's a lot of why he got elected a captain, because of his leadership, and he's just one of those guys that gets along with everybody. So
I like that story, though, of him being in Target and peering through the aisle to the next aisle and seeing the guy new going, caw, caw, the guy looking around. Just the visual of him looking through the boxes and everything, just watching this guy trip out.
Danny was the one that pointed that out. I didn't realize, and then all of a sudden I start paying attention to all the audio from the locker room after the game. You can always hear him.
Yeah, I've heard that, and never really even thought anything of it.
It's a battle cry.
Isn't that the kind of stuff you miss the most, Dave?
Yeah.
The camaraderie and the stuff that goes on in the locker room. I think you've talked about it before, too, where it's okay to be a little kid.
Yeah. Yeah, you never grow up in the NFL. I just remember it. Like, I was like 30, and all the guys that played, practical jokes and stuff. One time I got to out to dinner with my wife, and I pulled my keys out of my pocket, and all this baby powder came out. Just everywhere in the restaurant. And I'm like, oh.
Did you know who did it right away? Which guy it was?
I knew it was like three or four different. It could have been one of three or four. So,
were you good at pranks?
Yeah, I used to draw cartoons of people. That might be a surprise to you, Bob.
Yeah, that's a big shock.
Yeah, we would stay in Denver.
Yeah,
I still do. So, but we would have Thursday night linebacker meetings, and every once in a while we'd bring beer in there and stuff in the facility, and we watch film. It was like a camaraderie thing, and I don't know who put it together. I think maybe I did. I don't know, and maybe it was Carl Mecklenburg. But so we would a couple of us would stay afterwards. Mainly it was me, and we'd draw like a cartoon of somebody in the room. And so then you'd put the film screen down, and there was like a lever. So the next day when we'd get in the meeting room, the coach would, make the film screen go up, and then there'd be this big cartoon making fun of somebody. So Mecklenburg one time had, he had these, It was like his wife bought him these Fruit of the Loom underwear that was in a pack, and like every one of them was different colors.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, you know, so he would have like the little kid BVD underwear, and it'd be like blue, green. And so, you know, I did something about, you know, underwear week, Carl Mecklenburg's underwear of the day or something, and drew all these different, you know, colored things with hearts and everything. Just stupid stuff like that. But I mean, you know, that's why I say I went to Merrill Lynch after that, and that stuff didn't go over so well.
No, probably
they didn't appreciate your artistic values. And
some of the jokes and stuff that you would make, they'd be kind of harsh. You had to have thick skin in the NFL, but yeah, it was fun. And that's the kind of thing that, yeah, you're right, Jim. I miss that kind of stuff.
Wow.
And two guys that I knew were going to be in the media, Shannon Sharp and Mark Schlereth. Those two guys both were hilarious, and we heard from Mark earlier, of course, but you see Shannon all the time, and you know, every time I talk to him, make the same stupid jokes that we made 20 years ago.
And they're still funny, aren't they?
Still funny.
Yeah.
What am I talking about? 25 years ago, sorry.
But yikes. good to catch up with Nico Thorpe. Is he a guy that, and I don't even, you talked about him being thrown in there at defensive back. I don't recall how he plays, like having a feeling about, man, when he's out there, you feel good, or, oh, boy, this could be a problem for the defense. How do you view him as a cornerback? Because we know him as a special teams ace out there, and that's where he's made his name on this team.
Well, I think he's good. Didn't he make a play on the ball the other day? I think one of his two spots, and you could see he was excited to get in there. The corners have been pretty steady this year. I mean,
Shaq's playing great.
Shaquille's playing really well. I think he's answered a lot of questions. And then Trey Flowers finally gets his first interception, and that was a good interception.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people could say, well, he threw it right to him because it was a little rub route that didn't happen for the offense. But, you know, that thing was coming in there like a bullet, and you turn around, and all of a sudden there's the ball, and he caught it. So you just don't see a lot of subs at corner. So, I mean, he's not getting a chance to get on the field.
Can you get labeled just a special teams player? And the reason I'm bringing that up is it just occurred to me is, like, you know, a guy like Dylan Moore, utility player for the Mariners, you get that. It seems like once you're a utility player, you're always a utility player. And I just wonder, I mean, Nico Thorpe just seems like he can be a playmaker type of guy.
Yeah, I feel like for him, you know, he would need to do it in camp, you know, get it done, because you don't get a lot of reps during the season. But once you see a guy making, I always say this about covering punts and kickoffs, especially, you're making tackles in wide open spaces. And if you can do that, this is why I'm excited to see Ugo Amadi get on the field. He's a great open field tackler, and you can see that. So is Nico, for that matter. But, you know, I think Justin Coleman and Nico Thorpe last year were probably the two best headhunters in the NFL as far as out on the punt. But now Ugo Amadi, and part of it is getting loose, shaking loose at the line of scrimmage, and it takes a lot of talent. So yeah, you can prove yourself that way, but probably once you're that way for a couple of years, it needs to happen like during camp that you mm-hmm. need to take, you know, because you don't get that many opportunities in practice during the week, during the season.
Yeah, he just seems like a good piece to the puzzle. Like, he may not be a standout, he may not be a Pro Bowler or anything, but he's just one of those guys that's great in that locker room. As you said, everybody loves the guy. He says he doesn't meet many people he doesn't like, so mm-hmm. he loves people. So, and it works out well. And having him on you know, on special teams, unfortunately, it's been a kind of a tough go for him. You know, dealing with a hamstring injury, and those, man, guys that rely on speed getting downfield, you hate hearing about that injury, because all we hear about is how it can linger, and you have to baby it, or you've got to take the time to let it heal, and hopefully he's 100%. And we asked him about it, but man, just I think the amount of value they put on their special teams, he's a guy that really stands out, the way Ricardo Lockett did before his injury.
Yeah, I'd say that, you know, they had the blocked punt. That was great. You know, the special teams as far as kicking has been pretty good. What did they miss? Two, I think. Missed an extra point.
Missed
and then they missed
field goal,
two field 40,
goals. Was it 48 yards, 44
one of them
yards?
One of them was deep.
One of them was like 50-plus.
Yeah, and then one was at the bad side of the field in Seattle. Same side Zuerlein missed.
But, you know, they had the blocked punt, and other than that, though, I mean, there's been some big returns, and, you know, the return for a touchdown on the punt. And luckily, they hustled and didn't give up a touchdown on that opening kickoff, but it needs to get tightened up a little bit. So they've got some work to do there.
They need a better game from Dixon, too, don't you think? I mean, he hasn't been as good as last year. Last year, he was outstanding. So maybe a sophomore slump was to be expected, but be nice to see him kicking a little more like last year or this year.
I agree. I think there are definite holes in the special teams so far this year, and hopefully they're turning a corner because, man, you see how costly it can be. You're giving up that field position. And
this is what we do with a 5-1 team.
Yeah, you nitpick.
Last night with Moyer, he's like, why can't we be happy with 5-1? I go, we've been talking about that all week. You know, why can't you just sit back and enjoy it? But, yeah, there's always something to worry about.
All right, coming up, we got a dose of it in this segment, but Dave Wyman's going to sit us all down for a nice story. It's going to be story time with
Jim's
Dave
Wyman. Favorite segment.
This is fun. Morant, Bob. Listeners, you're all going to enjoy this.
We're in for a treat coming
up next.
The only
reason Jim's saying that is because he didn't have to talk the whole time.
An even bigger treat. That's next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll figure out exactly what it is we've learned today, but it's story time with Dave Wyman.
Yeah, it's your first story time, Bob.
It is.
Yeah. Put your legs up, Bob.
Jen from Beaverton was asking if Jim had his blankie, and
I know I forgot my blanket today.
Yeah. So this one came up because of the Miles Garrett. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Doing
it wrong. For the Browns,
that
got punched.
Justin Garrett. Yeah, Miles Garrett, the guy with 9 sacks. He went to a fan, came up and said, wanted to take his picture. He rolls his window down, and the guy punches him. And so I was saying, you know, there's really nothing I don't think that would have stopped me, at least not then, from, like, chasing that guy down. So I started thinking about, and Jim, you've heard this story before, but when we were in Denver, my wife and I think we'd had Jake, our son, and so we, you know, got a babysitter and went out into Denver for, it was during the off season, and I had just come off a really bad knee surgery, and so, you know, I was working out, I couldn't go home to come back to Seattle, so we were in Denver, and we went out for our anniversary, and so, you know, like I said, I was like maybe 3 months after my surgery, I wasn't running, all I was doing was like barely walking on a treadmill, I was just getting to that point, they didn't want me to run or anything, so I was there working hard, so we decided to go out to dinner, and so we, you know, we're in the car, and we're sitting at a stoplight on a one-way street, and there wasn't many cars around, but I looked to my left, and there was this little old lady walking towards us on the sidewalk, and she had like one of those plastic hair nets over her, you know, over her hair.
Oh, yeah, to keep her dry.
Yeah, tied, yeah. You know, underneath her chin, and she had one of those house coats on that looks like a quilt, you know, and she's carrying, clutching her, you know, her little purse, you know, in the crook of her elbow, and she's walking towards me. And then I saw behind her this guy, and like if you had a frozen time right there, I would have said, that dude is getting ready to rip her purse off. And
you had an idea that he was going to do what he
just the way he was like lurking behind her. And I just like, if you'd have asked me at that moment in frozen time, that's what I thought was going to happen. And sure enough, all of a sudden he just accelerates through and knocks the old lady down and grabs her purse and starts running. So now he's running towards me. Well, the light is still red. And like I said, I don't think there was many, and we're on a one-way street. I flipped a U-turn in the street and turned around. So now I'm going the wrong way down a one-way street. This whole time, during the whole thing, Shannon is like screaming at me. Not screaming, but she's like, what are you doing? Oh, my God, you know, and I didn't even hear it.
And she saw what was happening.
Yeah, and I don't know if she saw it right away, but she saw the guy running, I guess, when we all of a sudden turn around. I didn't announce that, hey, I'm going to chase this guy. So I turned around and I rolled down her window, and I'm screaming at the guy all kinds of obscenities, like I'm going to kill you, basically.
Right.
And so then he turns behind the store, and I turn with him, and then he cuts across in front of me and goes down this alley. And so I jam the brakes on, and I jump out of the car, and the first step that I took, I slipped and fell. Why? Because I was wearing cowboy boots. Apparently that was fashionable back then, or maybe not. I don't know. I had a pair of cowboy boots. We're going out to a nice dinner. I had a jacket on and everything. And so I fall down, and so I'm still screaming at the guy and yelling, and I start running after him, which I wasn't supposed to run.
Was Shannon yelling at you to stop?
Well, yeah, but I couldn't hear it. I really couldn't.
You were seeing red.
Yeah, I was just so like, I'm going to get this guy. And so I fell down, and I can't remember if I grabbed rocks then. I think it was later on. There was like some good-sized like river rocks that I grabbed. But the guy in the alley like jumped over like an 8-foot fence. And at one point when he was at the very top, I just peppered the back of his head and his back with these rocks because I couldn't catch him.
Right.
And he flings the purse off over, you know, over his shoulder. And,
back,
you know,
towards
it lands
you.
On the ground. Yeah, and it lands right in front of me. And so I'm like, I'm not supposed to be running. And the guy was fast. So
did you? How far away were you when you nailed him with the rock?
It was probably, you know, I don't know. He was probably like maybe 5 or 6 yards in front of me. But he was at the top of the fence. And I was like, okay, I
like that.
Stop
the guy
now.
The guy was fast.
He was. So I'll give him that. But so then, and I'm just seeing red, and I'm just, so, but... As I'm running down the alley, I remember hearing this grrr, boom. And so I forgot to put the car in park.
Oh.
So my wife, and it was at a full stop, and then, you know, it was still in drive. So it just kind of rolled like 5 miles an hour into another car.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So it, you know, dents the other car. And I come back and I'm just like, you know, I'm just like breathing in and out. And Shannon just starts going, oh, my God, what are you doing? Are you crazy? And I looked at her, and I've never, ever had a crossword with my wife. I just looked at her, and I go, shut up! And she stops. You know, and so then I'm just trying to kind of, and so I start walking back towards, and basically she, more than anything, she's telling me, I mean, that guy could have had a gun.
Yeah.
And he did have a knife, and it was a weird-looking, like, paring knife that you would chop up vegetables
was
with.
Was he a chef?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was thrown on the ground, you know, and I saw that there. Then the other thing that happened, I think it was this pickup guy. A guy came by in a van, and he goes, hey, you looking for somebody? And right then, like, the hair stood up on the back of my neck, like, this guy could have a gun, and maybe he's the accomplice. So I just looked at him. I go, no, and just kept walking. So he kept driving. I go around the corner, and I give the old lady her purse, and she goes through and takes inventory. Lipstick, hairbrush, checkbook, pen. Oh, okay, good. It's all here.
Oh, you're like, I risked my knee and everything for this? Yeah,
that was it? Not a wallet with money in it or anything?
No, there was nothing in there. Yeah, but I mean, you know, so the cops come because, you know, and then when they came, I wasn't too happy with the Denver police. They were like, well, why did you do this? What
I saw an old lady thinking? Being mugged.
Instead of saying thank you.
Yeah, and he's like, well, you know, we're going to have to, you know, cite you for this, unless the person in the, there's this really cool kind of hippie lady, and it was her car, and it just put a little dent in her door, and she goes, hey, man, you were trying to do the right thing. No problem. That's cool. You know, the car's already dented anyway. But it did like $1,000 worth of damage to my car. You know, it was one of those new, like, I can't remember what kind of car it was. But anyway, so, you know, the cops were kind of giving me a little bit of a, like, you know, what'd you do this for and everything. And so, and I'm not trying to, like, sound like I was, like, a hero or a superhero. It was just like a Lou Piniella thing. It was just one of those things that happened.
Yeah.
You know, well, I couldn't really control it.
How grateful was the older lady?
So the old lady, you know, was super nice and everything. Thank you, young man, and everything. And then I think the Denver police called me, you know, afterwards to kind of follow up and like close out their police report. But they were kind of being smartasses about it.
Did they know who you were?
I think they probably knew I was, you know, a player, and I'm not sure if they did or not. But so anyway, I was just like, well, I mean, whatever. I couldn't help it. And, you know, yes, we've heard this story before, 206. Okay. So just tune out if you don't. But yeah. And so, but about 3 or 4 months later during the season, I got a chance to go on the radio, actually, and they wanted me to come in and co-host a show. And I thought, yeah, I'll try it. I'll just try doing it. So it was a nighttime show, and I was back playing again. And so all of a sudden, we got a call, and it said, it was a guy who said, you got my mom's purse back. And I was like, okay, definitely take this guy's call. So the guy gets on and he tells kind of the whole story. And I told this story over the air in Denver. And, you know, he said, hey, I just want to thank you. And my mom is so grateful that you did that and everything. And it was totally worth it. Like, it was worth $1,000 I spent on the, you know, fixing my car and everything. And it kind of made everything right. So it all kind of came around, and which was really cool. I mean, it was very rewarding. It was better than any kind of monetary reward you could get. But
now, if your knee were healthy and you caught the guy, what might you have done?
I probably would have put like my knee into the back of his neck and held him down till the police got there.
No.
I don't know if I would.
Do you think you would have caught him with tennis shoes on?
No, probably not. I mean, look, like I said, I wasn't even supposed to run. Like, I could have blown
my knee. No, but a healthy knee in tennis shoes, you would have got him.
Yeah, I think a healthy knee in cowboy boots, I could have got him. But
you, cowboy boots, you know what I'm picturing.
Hmm.
Seinfeld, when George kicked him out of the car and he's wearing cowboy boots and those guys were coming after him. And he's
my legs. Yeah, exactly. Just like that.
He's like a cartoon running a place.
Yeah. So anyway, it was, like I said, though, it was just one of those things that happened, and it flashed into my mind because Myles Garrett gets punched, and I'm like, man, I don't know, especially when I was playing, I don't think there's anything that would have stopped me from trying to chase that guy down.
And grab him, and rain blows down upon him, Dave.
Exactly, beat him. So anyway, there's
a good
story
one.
Time.
That's a good one.
See, all wasn't right. that fun?
It was fun.
Yeah, yes. Jim it. Loves it.
He yeah. just Jim, I thought you were really good in that segment.
Thank you.
You did his best work.
Dave was fantastic.
I didn't have to interrupt you, so you're happy.
That's okay, great.
Yeah. It'll happen again, I know.
Just right. to recap, though, that was fantastic yesterday.
Thank Mara, you. And for listeners who aren't aware
sweetest
of
sweetest person at the station by far. And she got after Jim, and it was great.
Yeah, and I had it coming. And all the years I worked with Jessamine, who can be rude, and Mark.
Oh, my God, no.
I mean, Jess can be rude.
This is why he gets in trouble.
Yeah.
You should have heard Jess yell at me one time on the phone. Oh, my goodness. It was. I had to pull the phone away from the ear.
I've been in the room where you were telling a story or saying something, and she had her back turned to you, and she just said, "It's not funny, Jim."
Yeah.
Jim looks at me and goes,
yeah. But no, bouncing. I had it coming. No, but if you missed it yesterday, I was asking Ben Burkervin about the Apple Cup, and you know why
it was one Cougar question too many.
Yeah, I asked a few too many there, and I had it coming, and so I was all right with it.
Mara, you just keep up the good work.
You do.
Thank you. Thank you.
You do what you feel is necessary, yeah, Mara. All right, we're going to come back and explore all of the incredible things that we learned today with Bob, Dave, and Mara on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
It's time for What We Learned. It's brought to you by Carter VW. What have we learned today, Mora?
Well, Mark Schlereth taught us quite a bit about Broncos left tackle Garrett Bowles.
The stuff on the left tackle, Mark, I really enjoyed your comments there.
Listen, in all seriousness, and this is me being honest, and it's not personal. I would fire his ass and ship him out of the building. And the problem is when you have a guy that you continue to prop up in the mama cat that every guy in that organization knows can't play, and you're looking at him every time you walk in the locker room going, why is that guy on our team? He blows. Like, you lose credibility as an organization. You lose credibility as a general manager, as a head coach, as just an organization in general. And why that dude is playing in the NFL, why he's on our team, I have no idea.
All right, Mark's getting out of his system all the things he can't say on TV on Sunday, so.
Do they love him out there in Denver? You were out there for a while.
Do they love Schlereth?
Schlereth, yeah.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Does he say, he's got a radio show, right, or he did?
Yeah, he's on the morning show at 104.3 The Fan, our sister station out
so
there.
So does he say these things there?
I mean, they were pretty positive about the Broncos for a while, I think. But this start is, I mean, pretty epic as far as bad starts go.
Well, he was an offensive lineman, so he would know.
Certainly, yeah.
Good from bad.
Well, and
bad
even Elway has called out this offensive lineman publicly. Said he has too many penalties and he needs to clean it up. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's Mark does a really good job. Did you hear him say mama cat?
Yeah, I wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that he, like, slides in there that you don't even notice till like, the second time. They're mama-catting him. I guess, like, you know, mama-cat picks up the little kitten by the
protecting him,
and yeah. He says it like it is. I don't think we'll hear anything like that on the TV broadcast.
No, I don't imagine so. What else did we learn?
Mark Schlereth, again, speculates about where Russell and his receivers went to school.
The connection he has between he and his wide receivers, not only Lockett, which is incredible. I mean, I was commenting today, I was talking to Shoddy, Brian Schottenheimer. I was like, it's like they went to Hogwarts together. Like, it's magic, you know. I mean, those two, when things break down, they have a connection. Like, is it mental telepathy? I don't know. I'm not that bright. You know that, Dave. I just am not real smart. But
I didn't go to Hogwarts.
I have. They did go to Hogwarts?
I did not go to Hogwarts.
Or did they go to the University of Narnia together? One of those schools. either or.
So, I've read all the Harry Potter books to my kids.
So you've got all that.
Hogwarts
memorized.
Is where they all went off to school.
Okay. So, and it's like a magical school?
And they're all, you know, yeah, they're magical. They're witches and warlocks and whatnot.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
So Russell's
very creative.
Russell's very magical in his connection with his receivers was the bottom line.
Well, it's kind of funny because they're both kind of nerdly a little bit, mm-hmm. Russell and Tyler Lockett.
I'm not sure about Russell and Tyler, but I know Doug was actually a big Harry Potter fan. He was like comparing people on the team to what character they would be in Harry Potter. Yeah.
Richard was a
Sherman,
big fan too.
Sherman was a huge fan. Yeah. Yeah. And I told him one time, like, make sure you read those to your kids. Cause I loved it, man. It was like something we looked forward to every night, you know, reading those. And,
how many books are there?
Oh man. I don't know. We stopped, I think at four or five.
Seven
books and eight movies.
Wow. Thanks, Brian.
Jeez.
I think eventually we got a fellow Hogwart.
I've seen none of them. Did you see the movies?
Oh, yeah. Waiting for my letter at 10 years old? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I saw a couple of the movies. Yeah.
Did you?
But, you know what they say. Books always better.
You a fan, Jim?
I didn't know what any of that, what we were talking about. That's why I got so quiet.
Wait.
I was like, Hogwarts?
What about Narnia?
Whatever. Huh?
Narnia? Legend of Narnia? No?
No.
I didn't see the movies or read the books either, but I knew what they were talking about. I knew it was Harry Potter.
Little Mermaid? I can talk Little Mermaid.
It's coming back to Little Mermaid again.
I don't know anything about Harry
Potter.
Jim was
just staring off straight ahead, just no expression on his face while you were talking about that.
I like that it's Little Mermaid and Undercover Brother.
Yeah. They're right in line with each other, too. Similar movies. All right, what else did we learn?
We'll include Jim on this next one. He thinks he can beat Nico Thorpe at ping pong.
I know it doesn't look like it, but I could give you a game.
No, trust, there's no look to this ping pong thing. I've noticed that.
I'm telling you, I'd give you a game.
I believe you.
I
look forward to it. I mean, you probably sharpen my game up. Show me something I ain't seen.
So
he also said he was a good beer chugger. And he's terrible.
No,
he says that stuff a lot, man.
No, he's lying. He saw me at Hooters. I showed you. I can do it.
It was awful.
I'm a better beer chugger than I'm a ping pong player. I can.
Well, then
I can
you must not be very
pong.
Good because he said you're
terrible
not a good beer
ping pong.
I can play. Can you? You want to play sometime?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I'll think
you're pretty good at cribbage too.
Yeah, I do.
And I think I'm pretty good at cribbage.
Yeah.
Who's a better beer chugger?
Well, I've seen him.
Oh, he always talks about Paul Moyer. I want a piece of Paul Moyer. I want to settle this once and for all.
You can't pour out a beer faster than Moyer can chug it.
Well,
really?
See.
Is he one of those guys that just opens the throat and it just dumps it?
It's unbelievable.
We used to play.
I've never seen anybody like that.
Come on.
And then Jim tried to do it at Hooters down at spring training and dribbled all over the front of him. It was like he was gulping gulp.
I don't care. I don't care what you say. We used to play Losers Chug Foosball at the Billiard Den in Moscow, Idaho, and I was damn good in my time. I still think.
I mean, it's a requirement for a Coug, isn't it?
Yeah.
They actually have a class there.
Yeah.
I want to see you go up against Moyer.
All right. Let's set it up.
Yeah.
And
it's not even competitive, Bob.
I probably will.
I'll lose, but I'll
go down chugging.
How long does it take you? What do you think? 5 seconds? 10 seconds?
No, it doesn't take 5 seconds.
Five.
One thousand, two thousand.
It doesn't take 5 seconds.
Two. Yeah, it was about 5 seconds. Moyer's like a second.
He's just
go.
What NFL position as a whole are the best beer chuggers?
Well, it's got to be O-line, right? Hey, isn't there a thing going around like on Twitter where guys are chugging beers? Didn't Aaron Rodgers do it?
Oh, yeah, when they were at the Milwaukee Bucks game.
But Aaron Rodgers.
David Bakhtiari.
Bakhtiari showed him up. And then Stafford did a video and showed him up. And then Rodgers came back and said, if it was scotch, I would win.
He'd chug scotch.
Yeah. Nobody's chugging scotch.
Christian Yelich also got in on that game.
Oh, yeah.
He was
Yelich did?
Pretty impressive. Yeah, Yelich was impressive.
Did we learn anything else?
No, that's it.
All right. There you go. Hey, a reminder, this week's Get in the Cage podcast brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino will be up there for you after the show, featuring a light heavyweight contender who will be in action here shortly. Dominic Reyes will be the guest this week. Good conversation with him. So check that out. And that does it for us. I want to thank our guests today, John Clayton, Mark Schlereth, and Nico Thorpe for joining us on the program. Everybody have a great weekend. Go Cougs.
Go Cougs.
Go Huskies. Go Seahawks.
Go Seahawks.
All right, you can get in on two or three of those. All right, have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back with you on Monday right here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.